We're going to switch gears right now. Talk to an old friend and an important part of the Sunday Spin for many years, Sam Panayotovich, who's back in town. Sam, thanks for joining me this morning.
Mr. Pearson, good morning. How are you?
I am fine. I'm fine. I'm disappointed you're not here to see the new digs, but I figured you were probably celebrating your homecoming a little late last night.
No, not too late. I didn't get the Sunday Spin lift offer to come downtown. So I'm in the burbs until next time. I promise.
All right, that's fair enough. Fair enough. Well, I wanted to talk to you about the issue of sports betting. Now that the Supreme Court is allowing states to conduct sports wagering, and you're over at VSIN, which maybe you want to explain what that is first of all.
Sure. So the Vegas Stats and Information Network is pretty much the CNBC of sports betting. We try and, you know, explain what these betting lines are, why they're moving, why they are what they are, and we try and explain, you know, why these odds are where they are. So we're the first of its kind. If we were a horse race, honestly, we kind of have the lead right now. So we pretty much explain what the betting line is, why it moves, where it's moving, and you know, it's a pretty good opportunity. I left because the Musburger family, you know, Brent Musburger, very famous broadcaster, he's the face of our network, and we started February 2017, and so it's about, you know, 18 months old or so, and really it's the first thing of its kind. You know, it's been an opportunity that's, you know, given us a lot of chances to sort of set the market on what this all sets up. And, you know, when PASPA was struck down in May, you know, the bill by the Supreme Court that was nullified to allow sports betting on a state-by-state basis, that's pretty much been, you know, a trigger for us to sort of set the market, and now we've got legal betting. You know, you've got it in Nevada, of course. You now have it in Delaware. You have it in New Jersey. You have it in West Virginia. And, you know, you have it in Pennsylvania now eventually, but Mississippi just started it. So on a state-by-state basis, you know, sports betting is going to be legalized, and, you know, Illinois will be soon. And we've heard legislative hearings will start momentarily. You know, you'll have it maybe next month or so. You may have one by Christmas time. And I honestly think, Rick, you know, honest to God, hand on heart, you'll have sports betting in Illinois. I think they'll legalize it by January. You could make sports betting probably by, you know, June or July 2019.
I'm not as optimistic as you, only because there are so many moving parts involving, and we've seen it not taking aside the sports gambling component, but just the battles over, you know, casinos, racetracks, the legalized gambling that we have. Now, Bob Rita, who's the kind of overseeing the gambling issue here in Illinois, has said at least that's sports gambling is the one factor that brings everybody together, because they all see a potential getting a cut of it. But to me, it just seems like such a complex type of issue, and as far as you know, changes that might have to take place with the state gaming board, the regulation that would take place, even to the extent of, you know, what kind of sports gambling would be permitted. And I guess I'm kind of curious, what are other states doing when it comes, what kind of sports gambling do they really offer?
Well, you've got the FanDuel Sportsbook, which just sort of kicked off in New Jersey. You know, some states have it in casinos. Others are trying to optimize it with racetracks and off-track betting facilities. You've got a couple of bills in Illinois that are kind of circulating. You've got Senate Bill 7, which is sort of introducing it on a casino basis within the borders of Chicago. You've got Senate Bill 3432, which would make it in casinos only. You've got 3125, which would allow it at racetracks, 2478. You're right. I mean, there is no, you know, there's no real leg up on it. And now there's all these bills and all these introductory bills that everybody wants a piece now. And everybody asks me, you know, well, when can I walk into Wrigley Field to make a bet on the Cubs? I don't know. I don't have that answer. You know, a lot of politicians want to have a piece of the pie now. It's so funny, though, Rick, because in New Jersey, all these leagues sued the state of New Jersey and Chris Christie. Nobody wanted sports betting. Nobody wanted any of that because it was, right, quote unquote, shady.
Right.
Nobody wanted to have it. But now you realize you can make money on it. All these states are like, oh yeah, sports betting's cool. We can have sports betting. So, and, you know, in Illinois, I don't know how they iron this out, but they're definitely going to push this to try and have it. I don't know exactly where it's going to be. It could be in just casinos only. It could be at racetracks. It could be, you know, in multiple places where you could have hedge funds. You could have several different opportunities on how to have this, but, you know, in other states, you've had casinos, you've had racetracks, you've had, you know, the possibility to possibly implement sort of like a hedge fund idea. So I don't know how exactly it's going to happen, and I don't know when you'll be able to walk into a stadium to do it, but I promise you, this thing is churning, and I've talked to several legislators. They do think, depending on whether it's Rauner or Pritzker, that this thing will be, you know, kicked in the cycle by January.
Are any states allowing it by phone, you know, by app kind of thing?
Not yet. No mobile yet. That's sort of the elephant in the room because, you know, and a lot of people that work in the industry are sort of fretting the day where you can do it mobily because all of these, you know, online video gaming ideas are sort of kicking out the middleman because people want to sit on their couch and they want to watch football, right? And they want to bet football as they go. You know, so all these online markets are really kind of circulating the issue right now because, you know, globally, you can do this, you know, you can sit at your couch, you can watch football, and you can bet on games in the convenience of your own home. And that's sort of the issue here. I know that a lot of people are wondering whether it will or will not pass in Illinois with mobile sports betting and mobile gaming. That will be the future, honestly, because there's going to come a time where if I want to bet on a field goal being made or a field goal being missed, I can do that. You know, I can already do that in Costa Rica or Nicaragua. Now it's illegal. It's sort of the black market, but that's the future, Rick. I mean, think about how we watch sports now. Think about how we live our lives. We're in our phones, you know, 90% of the time. You know, we watch our phones. We watch sports on our phones. So that's the next step. Now, there hasn't been really any leeway yet, but that'll be the future, the way we gamble on sports. It'll be on our phone. It'll be on our computers. And that's the way it's going to happen, like it or not.
Yeah, well, and that's kind of what I was talking about as far as the complexity issue, because, you know, that certainly would be the ideal. And plus, you know, as you mentioned, the kind of offerings that you can place, be able to place a bet on about, you know, making or missing a field goal. Is the next pitch going to be a fastball or is it going to be a changeup? Is the batter going to swing or not swing? I mean, the myriad of options for betting. Now, obviously, you know, it depends who runs the book or who manages the book, but just the sheer complexity of the multitude of bets that could be taken, that's what makes me think that this might not go as fast as a lot of people would like to see it.
Right. There are a lot of things to iron out, but the way that America views it, honestly, Rick, we're in the dark age, because if you go to Europe, you go to a soccer game, say you go to a soccer game in London, you walk into your seat and you're handed an iPad with a menu of things you can bet on. Who will score the first goal? Will this player score a goal? You can walk into a kiosk, get a hot dog, get a beer, and you can place a bet. So the way that, you know, it's so progressive and so advanced overseas, that's really the way the market is set. America's really in the dark age right now because there are so many ways you can walk into an arena overseas. I mean, you can walk into a soccer stadium and you can bet on things in the lobby. You can bet on them in the concourse. You can bet on them at your seat. So we are so far behind the way the thing works. And honestly, there are like 1,300 sports books in the UK. 1,300.
Right.
Yeah, we're so far behind. But once it gets accelerated, once things get kicked in, and once everything gets ironed out, there's going to be a big market here. I would say probably 5 years from now, from this date, you can walk into Wrigley Field and make a bet on the Cubs before the game.
Probably right outside the stadium, if not inside. Sam Panayotovich, reporter and talk show host with VSIN Network in Las Vegas, is our guest. I'm Rick Pearson. This is the Sunday Spin. Welcome back to your Sunday Spin. I'm Rick Pearson of the Chicago Tribune. I'm speaking to Sam Panayotovich, formerly of WGN Radio and now with the VSIN Network in Las Vegas. We're talking about the issue of sports gambling. And Sam, I was wondering, from these early states that jumped in, what's the experience? What's going on with them?
Well, you've had several issues, including the lack of intelligence with a couple books, because in Las Vegas, as you know, Rick, things are so ironed out. They've been doing sports betting forever. The juice has really been an issue. For example, on like a point total in baseball, say the run total on a game is 8.5, In Vegas, what it is like for 8.5 runs, you go over 8.5, under 8.5. The juice is -110 or -115 or -120. What that means is you lay 120 to win 100. You lay 115 to win 100. Some of these books, though, in New Jersey, they have raised this juice so much that sort of the tax, right, the income tax on making a bet. Some of these juice numbers over in New Jersey, some of them in Mississippi, have been as high as 150, 160, 170 just to bet on a run total. So, you know, that's so interesting to me because, as we know, I mean, the black market is so popular and it will continue to be popular because if you want to make a bet, you can find a guy, right? I mean,
that's there's the always a guy.
But some of these shops, Rick, I mean, in New Jersey, you have to lay 170 to win 100. You know, you have to lay 180 to win 100, and the novice bettor may do that, right? The person that walks in just to make a bet might do that, but that is not the reality because bettors in Vegas are laying 110, 115, 120, and there were a couple shops in New Jersey, including the FanDuel book, you're laying 180 to go over a run total. And so the tax, everybody wants a tax now, right? They want a piece of the pie. So some of these markets are just unfair. Now, some people will lay it, but they've sort of ironed out the kinks. I know they have dropped the juice at the FanDuel book, but that's really what it is because, you know, honest to God, I mean, are you going to lay 170, 180 when you can lay 110 somewhere else? No, you're not going to do that. So that's really been the biggest issue with some of these markets and some of these states. The taxation has been ridiculous, but they're sort of realizing that we better figure this out, otherwise we're going to lose our business to somebody else. So that's sort of been the biggest misnomer right now. How high is the tax? What is the tax? And how do we realize that we have to sort of lower this tax to keep our business coming in?
Well, and as we said about everybody, you know, wants a piece, you also have the leagues want a piece for that integrity tax, as they call it.
Oh, that's our favorite word in Vegas, integrity, right? And it's so funny. We just talked about it, you know, 5 minutes ago. You know, all these leagues sued New Jersey, right? Sports betting is bad. It will ruin our leagues. It will ruin this. It will ruin that. Well, maybe we can, you know, throw an integrity fee on and take a piece. Yeah, they all ask for 1%, and I don't think that's really going to happen. The NBA did just actually, though, sign an agreement with MGM Resorts, making MGM the official gaming partner of the NBA. Now, that pretty much gives them $25 million over 3 years. But it sort of nullifies the whole idea of getting a 1% tax. So now, basically what it is the NBA gets the data from the MGM, but it sort of rules out the whole 1% tax. Everybody wants a piece of the pie, though, so that's what it is. So I don't know that this whole integrity fee is going to happen. The leagues are starting to get pushback from these casinos, but I don't know that this all, you know, Napoleon Harris, senator in Illinois, wants to have this integrity fee still, but they hide behind this whole thing of integrity because, honestly, Rick, there were a couple instances in basketball within the last couple of years where, like, LeBron James, Kyrie Irving, and Kevin Love, 20 minutes before the game, they're all ruled out, and the point spread moves 9 points, right? Say Cleveland's favored by 10. All those players are ruled out. The spread goes down to 3. Where's the integrity there, right? In hockey, right. An upper body injury. What the hell is an upper body injury? You know, is a guy out a day? Is he out 3 days? Is he out a week? So these leagues, they ask for integrity and they ask for all this, but they have to be more transparent with injuries and with information because, honest to God, you know, in a football game, when a quarterback is ruled out 30 minutes before the game, that moves the line. So there has to be integrity on both sides. And when something shady happens in sports betting, these casinos have to report it. They report it to Gaming Control. They make sure everybody's in tune with what's going on. So integrity, honest to God, it works both ways. It's not only on the casinos, it's on the leagues as well.
That's a very, very good point. Let's talk a little local here. We got the Blackhawks season coming up. Everybody's kind of wondering, you know, we didn't see much activity in the off season. Nobody knows if Corey Crawford is back for good or not in goal. What are we looking at for the Blackhawks in the Stanley Cup?
Well, Vegas is not really respecting the Blackhawks at this point in time. Would you believe, Rick, they have the 19th best odds in Las Vegas to win the Stanley Cup? They're like 35-1. In most casinos. Now, Toronto's the favorite. They're like 7-1. Tampa Bay, 8-1. You've got Boston, Nashville, Vegas, Washington, Winnipeg, all 10-1. Pittsburgh is 12-1. And you've got Chicago at one of the lowest points in the division. Such a strong division. I know you watch hockey all the time.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, the Minnesota Wild have better odds than the Blackhawks. The Blues have better odds than the Blackhawks. The Dallas Stars have better odds than the Blackhawks because, you know, Vegas isn't really relying on Corey Crawford, and that's been the issue because last year, you know, when Crawford was in the lineup, this was a playoff team. And once he got pushed out the door and sort of became a day-to-day guy, well, when will he come back? When will he come back? That was sort of, you know, pushed to the wayside. But right now, the Blackhawks are in the bottom half of the league as far as odds. They're about 35-1 with an aging core. Duncan Keith and Brent Seabrook aren't getting any younger. Production is tapered off for Jonathan Toews. You know, Patrick Kane is still an all-world player, but you look at the way the league is caught up with speed and skill, and Vegas thinks Chicago is a bottom, you know, half team right now. They've got them 35-1 to win the Stanley Cup.
I'll take 35-1, and also, how do I bet against Toronto winning? Because I think that's where the real odds should be. Is always bet against Toronto and for the Stanley Cup. What about the Cubs?
Cubs have the second best odds in the National League. Dodgers are 2-1 to win the National League. Cubs are about 5-1. And if you want to bet on Chicago, you can get them about 8 or 10 to 1 to win the World Series. Believe it or not, though, they've got the best record in the National League, and they haven't had Chris Bryant or Yu Darvish. So the Cubs are always popular. 8 or 10 to 1 to win the World Series, and honestly, I like that a whole lot more than I like the Blackhawks.
Yeah, I do too. I do too. Well, Sam Panjatovic with the VSIN Network, formerly our colleague here at WGN Radio. Really great to talk to you. Glad to hear things are doing so well out in Las Vegas. And all of us here on the Sunday Spin send our best wishes to you and your mom and dad.
Rick, can I just jump in to say good morning to Sam?
Absolutely.
How you doing, Sam?
Ah, Swanee, great. I was just going to say, keep Swanee in line. Of all the people, you got to keep Swanee in line, right?
You'll have to excuse me. I'm going to get a piece of coffee cake now.
All righty.
He was hoping that you were your dad was going to stop by from with some Calumet Bakery items. So you can't take a newsman away from the food. That's the rules. Well, Sam, thanks again for joining me this morning.